Could we start this evening by singing number 312? Lead on, Almighty Lord, lead on to victory. Encouraged by thy blessed word, with joy we follow thee. 312. Our God and our loving Father, we would just ask for your help here this evening. We would pray that you would bless your word to the benefit of those of us who are believers and for any who are not. We just bear this up before the throne of grace. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So tonight I have on my heart to talk to you about apostasy. And it's apostasy arrived at through science. I was traveling this summer, went out west to Morningstar Camp, and I was talking to a brother at Morningstar Camp. And he was telling me that in his area, this is somebody who was raised in the assembly, he's gathered, that in his area, there are upwards of 10 people about his age who are atheists. Atheist is somebody who does not believe in a God. These are not just random people that he knows from town. These are people that he grew up with in the assembly. These are people who are raised in families like you're being raised in, with parents who are saved, who no doubt love the Lord, who talk to you about the Lord Jesus, who tell you about the gospel, the good news of salvation, how that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die on the cross, to suffer for your sins, so that you wouldn't have to spend an eternity apart from him, apart from the Father. These are people who did go to Sunday school and heard the gospel week after week after week. These are people who had a gospel meeting in their assembly, and they heard a gospel week after week after week. And they are ones just like you today who professed to be saved. At one point they said, I'm a believer. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. I was talking to a brother here at the camp, and he was telling me about somebody from his assembly who, up until not too long ago, there's no way that he would think that she was not a believer. And today she is an agnostic. Somebody who believes that maybe there is a God, a deity, a creator, a force, a power, but there's no way to have a personal relationship with him. I know of ones in my generation, perhaps a little bit beyond the generation of the brother who I spoke to over the summer. And I can probably list about 10 myself. Same situation from the assembly. Bob Tony this morning was talking about ones that he grew up with. And so I wonder, as I look around this room, we have probably about 150 to 200 people here. Who here is just faking it? Who here is just making a good show of it? You've been raised in the meeting. You know what to say. You know all the brethrenisms. You know how to talk. You know the verbiage, the phrases. You know how to answer the questions. You've heard them over and over and over again. And yet I wouldn't doubt that there's somebody here this evening who's faking it. Don't fake it anymore. You're literally playing with fire. Eternal fire. Don't keep faking it. Whatever Satan is telling you that is keeping you from accepting his son, the free gift of salvation, and the knowledge of eternal life, stop believing it. What he is trying to sell you is fake. What is apostasy? How do we define it? How does Scripture define it? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come." Think about all those things that I just read. "If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." These ones have enjoyed and partook in the benefits of Christianity, much like Jude did when he was here walking this earth with the Lord, walking around, no doubt casting out demons, no doubt doing miracles, and the power of the Spirit of God. Fake. No life. In hell right now. If you are somebody who has professed to be a believer tonight and you're not real, you are on the precipice of being what this verse tells us. Alive and yet impossible to be saved. Dead spiritually forever, yet still living. Don't keep faking it. Sometimes we think of apostasy and we might think that it's the fringe young people. It's the fringe people in the assembly, the fringe older ones. I could definitely see that person being an apostate. Let's look over at Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" These are not fringe. These are people who you might look on and say, there's no way. These people are solid. Maybe you've got us all fooled tonight. Maybe you've got us all fooled into thinking that you're solid. That you're definitely saved. And yet you're not. You've been faking it. Empty profession. You're on the precipice of going to an eternity separated from a loving father and a loving son. Don't keep faking it. Don't keep pretending. Is it because perhaps you've gotten to be a young person and you're afraid that if you get saved, Satan maybe is telling you, oh, you're going to get ridiculed. Don't even worry about it. People are going to make fun of you for waiting too long. I don't know what he's telling you. That's a lie of the devil. The angels are waiting to begin rejoicing as are we. Don't keep faking it. Tonight I'd like to speak directly to those who are not saved, those who are just professing. But I'd also like to speak to those of us who are saved, and I hope that we are built up in our most holy faith as we take up this subject, and we get grounded in the truth that we believe. So just a verse for us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm not reading or speaking about these things to cast doubt on anybody who's real. Consider this verse, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Lay hold of that. Don't doubt it. If you have believed on him, you are saved, you're secure. You're in those hands. And even if you wanted to, which you can't, you couldn't get out of them. But tonight, if you're faking it, if you're just simply professing it, if you've been making a fair show of it, stop. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I said that I wanted to look at this subject through the avenue of science. So what is science? If you were to Google define science, this is a definition that you would get from, I think it's dictionary.com. The intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. I want you to remember and continue to think about those last two words, observation and experiment. The branch of science that mainly deals with what we're going to talk about is called natural science. And a definition for natural science is the study of naturally occurring phenomena. Things that occur naturally. Can anybody here tell me a simple experiment, a simple science experiment that we can do right here? Anybody? Yes. What was it?
Drop a book.
And what is that? What is that showing us? Gravity. Now, that happened one time. What if I do it again? What do you think will happen? Why? What's that? Because it's science. Okay, so if I do it again, it happens again, right? Now, what about this time? Ready? Everybody look at this. What happened? Same thing happened, right? So, is science inherently bad? Is it evil? No. Nothing wrong with science. If science was bad, I just sinned by dropping this thing over and over. Science is just the study of the attributes and laws and things that God has put into his creation. Nothing wrong with science. Science is an incredible thing. Science leads us to understand incredible things about God, about his creation. What we can and cannot do, boundaries that we can push or not push. Let's look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, this word for science here is not science like I've been explaining or like we just experimented with. The word has more to do with knowledge. However, science very much falls under the umbrella of the word knowledge that's used here. Two things that are important. One, Timothy needed an exhortation. Perhaps Timothy had a mind for science. Perhaps he had a weakness for science. And perhaps the Spirit of God had the Apostle Paul write him an exhortation to be careful about what he was listening to. Second thing that's important to see here is that there is science, falsely so-called. Knowledge, falsely so-called. There is a bad science. There is a bad knowledge. And we need to make sure that we know how to tell the difference. The verse, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Beware of science, falsely so called. I'd like to ask you tonight, where do you put science in your life? Where do you put the knowledge that comes out of the scientific community? If this room were a million miles high and God were at the ceiling and we're on that table, just the general public, where do you put science? Where do you put all of their learning, all of their understanding, all of their wisdom? Where do you put it? Beware of science, falsely so called. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Another question. Is the scientific community generally composed of a majority of Christian, God-fearing men and women? Or are they atheistic? Do they not believe in God? Generally speaking, the vast majority of the scientific community and those who fund them are atheists. They do not believe in God. It's not saying that there aren't Christian scientists. There are tremendous through history. And yet the vast majority are not. Those ones are under the sway of the wicked one. Do you think that the wicked one, Satan, has your good in view? Do you think he has your care in view? Do you think he can sway a scientist? Or is a scientist with only the flesh in him honorable and upright, and he has your good in view? The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Beware of science, falsely so called. Let's look at some verses that talk about scientists. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It generally speaks about the entire community. Scientists, philosophers, the wisdom of this world, smart men, the Einsteins, the Stephen Hawkins, the ones who could make our heads spin with knowledge. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Is it foolishness to you tonight? Have you been going on pretending, making a good show, but in the back of your mind you're holding on to things that the scientific community is telling you? Are you trusting in things like evolution? While saying that you're saved and you believe in God, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but really it's just empty profession? What do you believe? Do you believe in Almighty God, a creator of heaven and earth, this entire universe that men are just scratching the surfaces at seeing? Or do you believe in the God who created all of it? And what they have no idea is out there. And the things that are happening out there for the good pleasure of his own will. Who do you believe tonight? But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We just did a simple science test of gravity. You think scientists understand gravity? They don't. They scratch the surface at gravity. Something we benefit from every day so we don't float away. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Where do you stand today? Where do you stand in relation to this paragraph that we just read, written almost 2,000 years ago? Are you going to take your place with the wise of this world? The finite minds of this world before an infinite God? How do you think that's going to play out? Do you think you're going to win? You can't win. Satan is telling you, hold out. Hold out. Don't believe. Don't trust the foolishness of men. Don't put your faith in a man, a creature. Put your faith and trust in an almighty God, the one who created all of these wise men. Stephen Hawking said there was no God. Has Stephen Hawking ever been able to create a law in this universe? Has he ever been able to create anything that would give an attribute to this world? What about Einstein, who believed that there was a God, a force, a power, but not a personal one? Was he ever able to do anything to this universe, like gravity? He couldn't. They can't. The only thing they can do is look out into God's universe and study it and say, these are the confines of it. These are what happens. This is what happens when I drop something. This is what happens when I drop two things. Now that's simplistic. Their minds obviously can go far beyond. They can go out to the stars and the planets and things like black holes. Things I'm not a scientist. I don't have much interest in science. I wouldn't be able to explain it to you. what the best they can do, the smartest, most genius person in the entire world can only tell us truthfully what God has done, what God is doing with this universe. Who are you going to put your faith in? That man who died and is in hell, who could speak of all kinds of things in this universe? Smart man. And yet he was a fool. And he's in hell. And if you're faking it tonight, you're on the road to follow him. Stop faking it. Don't pretend anymore. I heard a quote about 3 weeks ago. It said, when science changes, it didn't lie to you. It simply found out more information. When science changes, it didn't lie to you. It simply found out more information. Is that true? Yes, it is true. Science is just studying naturally occurring phenomena. Natural science, studying naturally occurring phenomena. What happens in this world? What happens in this creation? What happens with the stars? And as time goes on, we find out more information. And that information changes. And yet, the way that the scientific community operates and what the scientific community, largely atheistic, under the sway of the wicked one, what they portray is that you cannot question science. I remember growing up hearing a brother at conferences saying that science is the God of the 21st century. Science is the God of the 21st century. For who can question science? Who can question science? The scientists, the scientific community, don't ever, hardly ever, rarely, I can't remember the last time, hey, we're putting this out there, but we might get some more information in the future that would deem this null and void. So take it for what it is. This is the information that allowed us to arrive at this situation, but we're not sure about where this is going or what we might find out in the future. Have you ever heard information processed like that? Never. This is truth. Believe it. This is truth. Believe it. They ever tell you that about evolution? They ever tell you, you know, we believe that evolution is real, that we came from these simple cells and then complex and then monkeys and then humans. And that's what we believe, but we might come into some more information in the future. No. It is, if you don't believe this, you are a fool. Who do you believe tonight? Those who are under the sway of the wicked one? Those who take science, the study of naturally occurring phenomena, and they move outside of the realm of the Word of God, and they begin to preach and to teach a lie. And they mix it in with truth, like gravity and other things. And they say, Joel, just like gravity, just like evolution, just like whatever you want to believe, it's all true. Look, gravity's true, so evolution must be true. Examples of science changing. So I just have two here. I have a question to ask. In the 18th century, how old do you think the philosophers, scientists thought the world was in the 18th century? Somebody can raise their hand and just throw out a number. Or just throw out a number. You don't have to raise your hand. Go ahead. Go ahead. 40,000. That's close. 75,000. In the 18th century, scientists thought the world was 75,000 years old. In the early 19th century, how old do you think it was? How old do you think they said it was? Throw out a number. It doesn't matter if you're wrong.
500,000.
They thought it was hundreds of millions. It went from 70, in 100 years, it went from 75,000 to hundreds of millions. So we'll just say like 500 million. I don't know how many hundreds of millions. Darwin comes along. What do you think Darwin caps the world at, the age of the world? Could it be beyond this, according to Darwin? Throw out a number.
5 billion.
5 billion? It actually went backwards. 100 million. I don't know why. 100 million. What do they say the world is today? How old do you think they say the world is today? 4.5 billion. Somebody said that? 4.5 billion. Imagine living in the 18th century and saying, I think the world's 4.5 billion years old. You're nuts. Or saying you thought it was 6,000 years old. You're nuts, or whatever it is. It's 75. That's the way science works, right? That's the way the scientific community works. And yet, it constantly changes. The number constantly changes. And I'm not here trying to take up creation or how old the world is. I'm simply giving this as an example. I'll give you another one. I'm sure everybody here knows, or most know, about spontaneous generation. Spontaneous generation is the thought that was believed for hundreds of years that life formed from dead material. Life formed from dead material. So what would happen is they'd have like rotting meat out on the shelf there, on the counter, or they'd throw it outside, and there would be maggots all over it. And so the scientists concluded that somehow life must just spontaneously generate from this meat. Now, that might seem crazy to us, because it is crazy, but that's what they believed, right? And certainly nobody back then would ever criticize somebody for thinking opposite, right? Because that's not the way the scientific community thinks. They think that they're just going to throw out some information. They're going to allow everybody to understand that more information might come, right? That's how it works. Well, listen to this statement that's from 1652. Sounds very similar to what we hear today when people question science. Sir Thomas Brown may doubt whether in cheese and timber worms are generated, or if beetles and wasps in cow dung, or if butterflies, locusts, grasshoppers, shellfish, snails, eels, and such like be procreated of putrefied matter, which is apt to receive the form of that creature to which it is by formative powers imposed. To question this is to question reason, sense, and experience. If he doubts of this, let him go to Egypt, and there he will find the fields swarming with mice, begot of the mud of Nilus, to the great calamity of the inhabitants. Quote by Alexander Ross, 1652. The whole world under the sway of the wicked one. Nothing's changed. Nothing will change, except for science, falsely so-called. Where are you going to put your trust? Where are you going to put your faith? Is it in man, in his wisdom, in his desire, in his efforts to prove that there is no God, that this universe disappeared? In his proof that it's true, that changes over and over and over? Or are you going to put your faith and your trust in Almighty God, who loves you and sent his son to die for you? What are some things that science cannot tell us? The first thing, I have three things here, there's more. The first thing that science cannot tell us is where we came from. Why can't science tell us where we came from? Because where we came from is not naturally occurring phenomena. We came from a divine creator. And where I say came from, I'm talking about the universe. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. That is not naturally occurring phenomena. Scientists will never be able to tell us where we came from, where the worlds came from, where this universe came from, because it is outside of what is observable and experimental. It came from God's word. He spoke it, and it came into being. What else can't scientists tell us? And I'm just going to go back. Scientists spend billions of dollars trying to tell us where we came from, trying to indoctrinate where we came from, trying to take your mind and set it against God, against his word. They try to present something to you that is beyond being able to refuse it. If it goes contrary to this world, this word, if it goes contrary to God's word, don't believe it. Stop believing it. Believe God, the one who created the scientists, the one who created this entire universe. Another thing scientists can't tell us is why we are here. Why are we here? What a mystery to man in the flesh under the sway of the wicked one. What are we doing? Let's try to get to another planet before we run out of resources. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. There are many things, many verses that we could turn to that would outline why we're here. Things that we've taken up already in this at this camp in regards to the Christian, the believer, and what we're supposed to be doing now. I'm speaking very generally. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, all things were created by him and for him. You are a creature of a creator. That creator created you for him, for the good purpose of his will. You can read the last two verses of Revelation chapter 4. Very similar thought, what we have here. You're here because he wanted you to be here. God, a loving God, the one who is actively sustaining you by the word of his power, the one who's giving you the breath that you are breathing in and out, the one who is allowing all of your organs to function without you even doing anything about it. That God loves you. That God sent his son to die for you. Those scientists that are teaching you things that are going to send you to hell do not love you. The one who is behind them, the wicked one, does not love you. He does not have your good in view. He wants you to go to hell as well. Don't believe him. What else can't science tell us? Science can't tell us where we are going. Let's look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to you, to us, that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Who are you putting your faith and trust in tonight? The one who is taking you to the place, the same place that this rich man has been at for over 2,000 years? Or are you putting your faith in one who rose from the dead after having all my sins on him, who has punished for every single one of my sins? They've all been paid for. And all your sins tonight can all be paid for tonight. The transaction done. If you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Science will never tell you where we're going. Live your life, they'll say. Benefit the next generation. Think about the future. Think about hundreds of years from now. What's going to happen? Global warming. Be worried about it. Grass turning brown. Hair. Your eternity. It's all fake. Don't think about it. A creation, a universe that points to a divine creator. Don't think about it, they say. Who are you going to put your trust in tonight? The foolishness of man or the wisdom of God? I'd like to look at Luke chapter 4. There was a time when God, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, was walking in this world as a man like you and I, sin apart, and Satan came to him to tempt him, not to prove to God that he could withstand the temptation, but to prove to us who he was, that he was God. And I'd like you to think, as we read this, about the arguments that the most intelligent, godless being presented to the Lord Jesus Christ, God, the Son, and what arguments he left out. And the devil said unto him, verse 3, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus said, answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, all the sway, all the world under the sway of the wicked one. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from hence. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all his temptation, he departed from him for a season. Did the devil mention anything to the Lord, to God, about evolution? Did he say, hey, you know, that evolution thing's real. You should believe that. No. Hey, you know, God isn't real. You should believe that. Did he say that? No. Why? Because Satan knows. The angels, the fallen angels know. They tremble. He knew that he was speaking to the Creator. He knew he was speaking to the one who created him. The most powerful, intelligent, godless being this world has ever known. And yet today, we're going to fall for a scientist who tells us there was a big bang and we came from some cells that got more complex and turned into a monkey and turned into a human. If that isn't what you believe, maybe you believe some other avenue. I'm not sure what it would be that you believe. But whatever it is, did Satan use that to try to tempt the Lord? He had this one chance in his mind where he could foil God's plans. What's he going to use? The most believable thing. If that's what you're believing tonight, is that what was used? Probably not. What are you going to believe tonight? Who are you going to believe? The wicked one? Are you going to come under his sway? Or Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who sent his son to die on the cross for you? A couple questions in relation to what we just went over. If the science community says that we are here because we have evolved from simple cells to complex creatures to monkeys to humans, what do you say? Do you say, I don't believe that, or, well, maybe. I mean Stephen Hawking. I mean, I he's a pretty smart guy. A lot smarter than I am. What we have to do every single time something is presented, whether it's the scientific community or your friend, or Tim Ruga, or me, or anyone else, Aaron, Dave, whoever it might be, we have to come back to the Word of God every single time. What does the Word of God say? Let God be true and every man a liar. So when this world preaches evolution, let's just turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. What does God say? God says, Genesis 1 and verse 24, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That's what God says. Believe that. Don't believe some man who's taking you to hell, who's trying to deceive you by the deceiver, to put it off a little longer. Don't believe that. It's a lie. It is not for your eternal benefit. It is not for your present benefit. But the science community says that the world began by a chemical reaction resulting in a big bang, creating all the matter in the universe. What do you say? We already read the verse. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Word of God. Simple word of God. Come back to the word of God. Somebody tells you something. Come back to the word of God. Is it in the word of God? Does it say what that person is saying? If I've said anything here tonight that is not according to the word of God or not from the word of God, leave it. Drop it. It's useless. If I said some phrase or some saying or something, leave it. Drop it. Go back to the word of God. What does the word of God say? That is what is going to benefit you. Believing God and his word. The science community says that they can produce life. What do you say? I have no doubt that there's coming a day, probably pretty shortly. This is what I think. That the science community is going to say they can produce life. They say they're on the verge of it. They're about to be able to do it. 1 John 1:3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. We could look at other verses as well. Just a few down. In him was life. Come back to the word of God. When anyone tries to tell you anything, if it is contrary to the word of God, get away from it. Stop reading it. If it's hindering you, get away from it. Don't go on with it. I'd just like to end with the verse that we began with. 1 Timothy, sorry, that we read a little bit into it. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Let's just thank him for the time. Our God and our loving Father, we think of the solemnity of the subject of apostasy and how heartbreaking it would be if there were some in this room who would leave here tonight, go on and live their lives, once professing and then to deny you. And we pray, Father, that this would not be so, that if there are any in this room tonight that have just been simply professing, that are still lost in their sins, that tonight you would grant them life, that they would be saved. Father, we just ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.